I forget who it was who said that you'd be blessed to live in exciting times.
Oh, Churchill said it was an ancient Chinese curse.
Yes, an ancient Chinese curse.
May you live in interesting times.
We surely sit and are blessed living in interesting times with the issues that we have in front of us, the PLO issue, as history has now changed in our generation with this last year of uprising. This is the celebration of the year, and the second issue is this Mihu Yehudi, who is a Jew, which categorically I think we must immediately begin using a new word. That is not the issue, that's a smokescreen. It's Mihu Rav. Who's a rabbi?
They said that.
Agudas Yisrael, for once, did their job correctly and wrote at this past convention last Thanksgiving that the nomenclature has to change. It's got to be Mihu Ger, who is a convert, which is really the issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And these emotional gut issues have occupied us, all of us individually and collectively, each in our own ways.
Well, no.
I don't know that I have the answers to it, and I certainly don't purport to have the answers to it. But I would just want to say one thing before you comment, Joel. This is not the only generation where such gut issues surrounding about Eretz Yisrael have existed. I want to learn it in the times of the Amoraim, of the community of Bavel versus the community of Eretz Yisrael. And should you or shouldn't you go on Aliyah? You see? I want to derive from that whether we can speak about a concept which is so part of the Torah world today, and that is a concept of Das Torah, that there is a conglomerate of Gedolei Torah, no two ways about it, who express their opinion, and Das Torah is Kadosh, like it was in the times of the Sanhedrin. I will openly question this concept and try to show you some of my thinking on it and tell you right now as we start, we may need two or even three Rosh Chodoshim and our get-togethers here to solve these two issues. I'm going to lead and try to lead you in the direction of trying to find a formula in Rav Kook. In other words, a canon of thinking, a way of thinking that may just shed some light similarly on our problems of the PLO and Mihu Yehudi. In other words, the interesting times that we live in today. You were saying, Joel.
No, I didn't know. You said about the Agudas Yisrael, and now, I mean, the Agudas Yisrael is much more not, you know, in the leadership has changed in the last couple of years.
Yeah. And there's no question about this, that we're going to have to entertain the notion of one of the tzaddikim who lived in our generation. That's the Satmar Rebbe, the previous Satmar Rebbe, who was the spiritual mentor of the Nitzri Kaita, and how he looked at the sources. And in order to do this, we have to start by looking at a piece of Gemara at the very end of Maseches Ksubos, which you have in front of you on page 1, which I would rate these couple of, in other words, this Mishnah and the attendant Gemara to it, I would rate among some of the most important Gemara that has to be learned in today's day and age.
Yeah, I just have an immediate
this Mishnah and Gemara.
Yeah.
To what Mike said, I just want to point out something, just to point it out to begin with, is that many times in the Gemara, you know, he said, when, you know, somebody notices how strongly these people feel and they, daka, you know, have to have this law. Many times throughout Gemara, you will see that the Pharisees decided to do things dafka, to be, you know, to take out from the opinions of the Sadducees. You know, by Yom Kippur, it is that they made him tameh, and then they made him tahar in a particular way, in order to show that they didn't paskin like the Sadducees.
Sock it to them.
You know, they could have just left him tahar, nobody would ask the question, but dafka, they made him tameh, so that the Shiloh would come up to say, You know, you want to say it's like this? No, it's like this. And we'll show you that it's like this. You know, like, it was important enough to take a stand. Dafka's going to be this way.
Okay. I don't know the particular thing issue you're talking about. But how important? What if what you were doing would make them, whoever them is, sorry to see the words, would make them commit suicide? You knew that you would destroy them so completely that they would put daggers and put it in their heart. Would you do it? Would you still do it then?
They pelted people with this rogi and this issue. I'm saying they almost
how
like
far would you go?
Someone.
Does it matter?
I am giving you
historical. How far would you go back in the other direction? If they came to you and said, "Look, we have to use your mikvahs. I have a convert. I want to convert. I have to use my mikvah. If you don't let me use your mikvah, I'm going to commit suicide." So we let him use the mikvah and do a trafe of conversion just so he doesn't commit suicide?
Trafe is a relative term.
Michael.
You asked me
a personal question where I would go. I wasn't bringing a personal. I'm citing to you that when you say, when they do this, you know, it shows this or that. I'm saying, if you look, you will see that this is the way that the Pharisees were the founders of the rabbinical, you know, the rabbinical movement. I mean, the founders of, you know,
halacha.
I'm going to say halacha. Yeah, you know, conducted halacha. Themselves. So you see that there is something in this to be taken seriously.
No, because when I were in jab, the guy with the spear also.
Yeah, which
it's not something that we emulate necessarily.
Joe was bringing up the issue of lahotzi milibom shel sedukim. You are saying you don't know whether we necessarily have to. We are not disagreeing. You are saying that you don't know if we emulate it in every single case. What you're asking is what are the limits?
Yeah.
Okay? I would definitely feel that when we speak, if we get to this in a series of the issue of this Das Torah, if I can unearth for you certain underneath the tip of the iceberg kinds of information, then we may have some of our most satisfying and, I would say, heated conversations around this table. And it will only go to further strengthen the fact that we will be living in very exciting times. But let's get more in Ksubas, the very end of Ksubas Daf Kuf Yud on the base. That's as I said before, there's no doubt in my mind that these couple of pages have got to be learned by everyone. But let's learn just a couple of lines, beginning with the Mishnah, which I have marked here as line 1. The Mishnah says, HaKol Ma'alim Le'Eretz Yisrael, everyone is entitled to go up to Eretz Yisrael and should go to Eretz Yisrael. Ve'in HaKol Motzim, and not everyone should leave. The Mishnah continues, HaKol Ma'alim Le'Yerushalayim, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, the highest ideal is to go back to try to live in Yerushalayim.
What does that mean, HaKol Ma'alim? Aliyah,
go on Aliyah. You'll listen in a minute. Just hold on. Okay? Because the Gemara obviously explains it. You're asking is correct. Ma'alin is to cause others. It's hifil, lashon hifil, is to cause others to go. Okay? The Gemara will tell you right on the spot. Hakol ma'alin Yerushalayim, everyone goes up to Yerushalayim, ve'in hakol motzim, and if you cannot have the finest living quarters in Yerushalayim, can you go ahead and leave Yerushalayim to go elsewhere? Echad anoshim, men and women. Now, immediately, if you leave the Mishnah here, in answer to what you're saying, about, if we can go to line 20, Tanur Rabbon, and the Braisa taught us the following practical issue. And it's based on the words Hakol Ma'alim. Hu Omer La'alos. He says we are going to sell our house in Far Rockaway or Muncie because no one wants to sell in say, it's Gan Eden. You never leave Gan Eden. I mean, what's there to talk about? Hu Omer La'alos. He says, I'm going on Aliyah, sweetheart. V'hi Omer Es Shelo La'alos. And she says, my friends and family are here. Kofino sa la'alos. You can force her to go. You come to a bezdin, you can force the bezdin, you can force her to go vim lav. And if she refuses to go, teitzei below ksuba. A get is written, and the husband has absolutely no financial responsibility to pay the ksuba to the wife, because here she is standing in his way of doing. Well, she's standing in his way of doing the highest of mitzvahs. And you know, since we are sitting around this table, and it is an audio cassette that is recording our holy deliberations, I duly note for the audio portion of this that we don't have a video camera, and we see already the unusual smiles that come to the majority of our faces, and your dilemma, Mike, your dilemma, where is Shalom Bayis? So I'm telling
you, you told me that.
Next, the Gemara continues. He omeres lotzeis. She says, we've got to leave. I'm sorry, you're right. The last word of line 20. He omeres lalos. She wants to go on aliyah. He doesn't want to go on aliyah. My God, to leave a business, to leave tenure in an office, a profession you built up. Kofinos alalos. The family is going to stay together and you go on aliyah. Because the same way you made a living here, you'll figure out a way. Agid gitzach haneitzer. A Jew is inventive enough and creative enough to go ahead and find a way to make a living, to be able to live in Eretz Yisrael. Kofinos alalos. Vim lav. And if it's impossible to keep if it's impossible to keep the family together, yotzi, let there be a get, v'yitein ksuba, but he pays the full ksuba to her. Next case, he omeres lotzeis. She says, we've got to leave Eretz Yisrael. V'hu omer, and he says, the husband, shelo lotzeis. We're not going to leave Eretz Yisrael. Kofino so shelo lotzeis. You force her not to leave v'im lav. And if this is going to break up the family relationship, teitzei b'lo ksuba. She leaves, let her go wherever she wants, but b'lo ksuba. There's absolutely no financial responsibility that the Baal has to pay her for the monetary value of the ksuba. Finally, hu omer lotzeis, he says, we've got to leave Eretz Yisrael. The hi omer is shelo lotzeis. She says, we're not going to leave. Kofin oso shelo lotzeis. You're going to force him, you're going to restrict him from leaving the family in Eretz Yisrael, v'im lav, and if you see already that there's no, you know, forcing always, you know, probably doesn't solve too much. Ever. Forcing solves nothing other than resistance and aggression. Okay? V'im lav, if there's no way to solve this issue, is yotzi, let there be a get, v'yitein ksuba, and he pays off the ksuba, and that's it. And he goes. What is obvious here, that in these four cases, there is a yodo ala tachtona, there's one who is at a disadvantage, and there's yodo ala elyona, and there's the other one who is at the primary advantage. In these four cases, what do we surmise? Who has the advantage?
The prisoner.
The one who wants Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael gives you the advantage. Okay. Let's pick it up now. On line 32.
So what does it answer with Akol Ma'alin?
Akol Ma'alin means when you want to go on Aliyah, when one wants to go on Aliyah, then Akol, everyone goes. Everyone goes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since we don't live in an ideal world, everyone, there's no such thing as 100%. So, it creates a rift and a tear in a family. So, you come to Beis Din, here is the halacha, how to solve it. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Gemara in the first in the couple of other lines, as you know from learning any kind of Gemara, whether it's Hakol Shochtim, the word Hakol first of all never means 100%. Ein lemedim min haklalos. And the second thing, it always comes to specify certain cases which otherwise you wouldn't know. Hakol Molin, Hakol Shochtin, and so on and so forth. And the Gemara works it out as the first couple of lines before this brisa, but it does not relate to where I would like to go as far as the issue of Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. Line 32, in the middle of the line, you'll see a second brisa. Tanu Rabbonu, Tanoim Tot. Usually when you see a Tanu Rabbonu, we learned in a brisa, we expect what to follow. We expect a halacha to follow. Usually, but not always. Let's see. Tana Rabbana la'olam yadu adam be'eretz Yisrael hafidu bi'ir shehu ba'odei kachovi. A person should live in a city in Eretz Yisrael even if the majority of the population are a bunch of, worse than goyim.
Idolaters.
Goyim kemen adoch kemen, I can live with goyim if they are a bunch of only avodah zarah. The al yadu b'chutz la'aretz. And the alternative of going to live in Gan Eden, say 07055, in Passaic, in the Garden State, Fairlawn, Teaneck, Englewood,
you know, Muncie, higher,
Muncie is the, you know, the highest height. It's the highest height. I can only remind you that how Sinai was a very small hill. It wasn't a tall mountain, you see. The Al Yadu B'chutz La'aretz. Even in a Muncie, even in a Borough Park, even in a Teaneck, even in a Passaic Park. Okay? Shekol hador be'Eretz Yisrael domed k'mi sheyesh lo aloka. For one who lives in Eretz Yisrael has the dmus, has the outward appearance of one who is godly. V'chol hador b'chutz la'aretz, and the one who lives in chutz la'aretz, I must tell you, says the Braisa, domed k'mi sheyesh lo aloka. He's as if he has no God whatsoever. Shenema, and the Pasuk tells us at the end of this parsha, Parshas Bahar, it's the beginning of Bahar, but this segment of Bahar, L'seis lachem es Eretz Kenan, I gave you Eretz Kenan, li'yos lachem le'lakim. So there in Eretz Kenan I can be your God. Outside of Eretz Kenan I'm not your God, so to speak. V'chol she'ein, so let's finish. Finished. Ask the Gemara. Bechol she'ein odo be'eretz Yisrael ein lo eloka? Did you hear what the Brisa was saying? Did I hear it correctly? That if you don't live in Eretz Yisrael, you're not a human being who can be frum.
Wait a minute.
Kol hador b'chutz la'aretz ki'ilu oved avodas kochavim. What is that? Because of the domeh, it is analogous, it is illustrious of, this is how you have to understand that. Isn't that you don't have God. It's that it is as if you are destined, you are inevitable to be an oved kochavim. Now, what does that mean? It's very practical. You cannot live as a minority in a majority culture and not have the culture wear off on you. Unfortunately, this is going to bring a nervous breakdown to Chassidim. Their gatel was learned from the goyim. Their long black coat, the kapote, was worn by the shkotzim. The Steinlach,
also by the nobility.
The finish. And not only Chassidim, I have to tell you, the Russians who wear black hats, the same hat that Lubavitcher Rebbe wears, and the Chassidim make it Kodesh Kodshim. In other words, it has got to be, first of all, out of shape. Secondly, it has to have lint. Now, the Rebbe's is in shape and doesn't have lint, but Chassidim, and then, for sure, you took a look at Gorbachev. But that's not where we're going.
Just shows you the influence of the firm business on the world.
That's how Chassidim learn. All right, look at that. That's how Chassidim learn. Okay, but V'chein b'David, please go back. V'chein b'David hu omer. And it says, this is to be understood from a pasuk that David had said when he was in confrontation with Shaul HaMelech. So he asked Shaul HaMelech, what is it? Rabban Shalom sent you after me because he wants me, David, to do tshuva? If that's the case, I'll bring korbanos and I'll do tshuva. Or is it a bunch of low-life people who want to bring a rift between you and me and get you to chase me out of Eretz Yisrael? If so, Oru ha'anashim ha'ida. Cursed be them. Why? Ki gershuni hayom, line 36. They today are chasing me out, may he stapeach benachalas Hashem, from holding on to nachalas Hashem, to God's only nachala, only possession in this world, so to speak, and that is Eretz Yisrael, lomar, telling me to leave the country, lech avod elohim acherim, go worship other gods, where you have to leave the borders of Eretz Yisrael, and he's not ready to do that. So ask the Gemara. Let me finish the idea. V'chi mi omar lo leDavid lech avod elohim acherim, just because you're going outside of Eretz Yisrael, whoever told you that you're going to go ahead and worship other gods? This is the way David had of saying, Kol hador v'chutz la'aretz, if you're going to live outside of Eretz Yisrael, ki idu oved avodas kochovim, the influences of the goyim, because it is a majority population and culture, there must take place this modern concept of acculturation. It rubs off. It has to rub off. Perhaps has to rub off. What were you saying, Chris?
In Sanhedrin, now the last parak, which I was including this in Shemitah Chalik, it brings down, it says that right. Someone accused David HaMelech of worshipping Avodah Zarah.
When he was leaving.
That, and it said, the fact that he was leaving Eretz Yisrael.
It wasn't this case, it was a second case of when he was running from his son.
From Upshur. Yeah, correct.
Okay, that's a very important command.
Yeah, it's interesting. What we are reading, this is the Gemara. It's not the Mishnah.
No.
Talmud Bavli. The person that wrote it lived in Bavli.
That's correct.
Listen to what.
No, it's Tana Rabbanan.
No. But the Bryce is over.
The person that wrote it. I mean, whoever the Rabbanim, I don't know which. They don't specify who.
Wait a minute. For the record, I must take it back. You may be right, Mike, that this is where we just finished the Bryce. I'm going to have to check the original, and I didn't. Okay? So it may just be that we are talking Tana Rabbanon, these are Tanoim who are talking, and they are living in Eretz Yisrael.
Later we hear about okay.
What? Line 30.
Wait a minute. For someone to call me that I look like a Shagetz. Doesn't bother me so much. You told me this Shabbos in Shul about a pig. A pig tries to look, and indeed looks like a kosher animal. Mm-hmm. But we know that inside that pig, he's really trait. And that's the important thing, what's inside of him, not what he looks
like. Wait.
Wait a minute.
Not what's inside. Doesn't make him kosher what's inside.
It's what's inside then. He's trait that makes him trait and no
inside?
Good.
Where do you see in Chumash that the inside is what makes an animal trait for
the kosher? You don't care the rabbi is saying. It's a gun to his cud that makes him trait.
That's on the inside. That's on the outside.
You're only focusing, just a minute. You're only focusing.
No, it goes over with his mind.
You're only focusing on that.
It's not on the inside.
It is. Wait a minute, gentlemen. For this, using your analogy, the symbol of the chaza is that what you can't, the outside that you want to show the world is kosher is false. Inside is trafe. We know it. And if it's rotten inside, I don't care what it looks like outside.
You? I'm not rotten inside.
All right. I hear what you're saying.
The other thing is, if
but,
I live
but
in
that your issue, you should have told me from the children of Yosef, Manasseh and Ephraim. When they came to the grandfather, Yaakov. So Yaakov asked them, Mi'ela, who are these? Mm-hmm. So the Malbim writes clearly that they were dressed as Egyptian princes in training. And Yaakov Avinu could not ever conceive of the fact that his grandchildren would be dressed like a bunch of goyim. So Yosef said to him, Bonayim, these are my children. In other words, ipso facto, your children. Asher Hanan li Elikim Bozeh. God blessed me with Bozeh within this situation. Vitzadikim heim. Bonai heim, Vitzadikim heim. That inside they are pure, even though outside they are.
Okay. The second
thing inside they are pure, even though they're outside.
This is the way the Malbim writes, and
they might not look like.
There were chassidim when the Malbim was considered a big fighter against all of Haskalah. okay, and all of modern enlightenment, and the Chassidim who denied that the Malbim ever wrote it, ever wrote it. And the way I understand it, when they brought him, when they brought them the published
Peirush, black and white,
black and white, that this is what he wrote, Chassidim said, impossible, there's someone who got in and changed the print, you know, to sabotage, sabotage the print, because a Malbim wouldn't write such a thing. What do you mean, the outside, you're dressed like a goy? This is, the Maskilim do this. You know, the form, the designers.
But since when, I mean, you know, Mike is talking about the inside. Since when do we judge an halacha on the inside? We can only take a guess on the inside. We judge on what we see. Ain't a dayan down, ella mashabah.
So would it be kosher or not? Okay. He has a split hose.
It's nothing to do with his inside.
He told me that. He hides his cutter in the meat.
So if you look at it quickly, you don't see it. But you look at the animal, you see what he does.
You know, it's not what... It says. Explain what it means.
The external doesn't matter, it's the internal. But you cannot separate each of you.
In other words, what it is,
and Mike, you're separating
it's
the two.
Not, in English, they say it's not, it's the action what says. It's not the.
So is that on the inside or the outside? The action.
You can't tell both from the cover.
The
action on the inside or the outside?
No, I mean, if a person wears something in certain... What are you saying?
You said
if they weren't...
Said, you said that we judge by the actions. Is an action an external or an
inside? The way a person acts.
That's an internal thing?
Of course.
An action is an internal thing?
Of course.
Rebbe Wasserman says that your inside will eventually come out.
What a person wears doesn't mean anything. If a person wears a lange board, but
an action, how can an action be on the inside? An action is something you do and the
action
outside.
Is the outside.
But it comes from the
inside.
It comes from
my shovel is inside.
It comes from the inside. And I hear what you say.
I hear what you say.
I can hide it for a little while, but eventually it's going to come out.
Okay. I hear what you say. All right. But gentlemen, let's come back to where we were. The last two lines on this page. Towards the end of the line, Rav Zera, who lived in Bavel, Haba komishtamet minei derab Yehuda. He avoided. Mishtamet means to avoid. Rab Yehuda is ready.
A person like he's not, he doesn't want to go to the army.
He's
called a mishtamet. What do you call him?
Draft dodger.
Draft dodger.
Dodger. He dodged his Rebbe Rab Yehuda in Bavel.
From Israel?
No. Rab Yehuda in Bavel. Why did Rab Zera act this way? Because Rab Zera, the Talmud, wanted to leave and go on Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. And, yeah, right. Ki asak shamayim. I go up and okay. And Rab Zera wanted to go on Aliyah, and he knew Rab Yehuda and his opinion. The Omar Rab Yehuda, because Rab Yehuda would say, Kol ha'oleh, anyone who goes now, mi bovel Eretz Yisrael, who leaves Bavel and goes on Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, over ba'asei, he is breaking a mitzvah sasei, Shene'emar, and the pasuk of the mitzvah sasei that Rabbi Yehuda used to quote is a pasuk from Yirmiyahu, a Navi. Bavelo yavou, when the Navi was told to tell Bnei Yisrael in the first Churban, you will come to Bavel, v'shama yihyu, and that's where you will remain, ad yom poshdi or some, until I redeem you, ne'um Hashem, this is the word of God. Okay?
So we talked about this. Now, you said you're bothering.
There are so many questions. The first thing is, when you use the Lashon over ba'asei, You are abrogating the mitzvah saseh. Can you tell me the one unit of Torah shebichsav and the only unit that has a mitzvah saseh in it? That's Chumash. Yeah. And here Rabbi Yehuda is going and quoting from Nevi'im. And we know the klal that no Novi had any right to be mechadish anything. And if Nevi'im came to be mechadish, it still wasn't a d'oraisa.
You should follow the words, the words of your
Rosh. So you say, okay,
he brings from before, he brings from Vayikro Chafei. And then he brings the Raya from Yirmiyahu, which is stronger.
Okay. Obviously. Yes, obviously Chumash is going to be destroyed.
Yeah, but Yirmiyahu didn't know the Chumash, and yet he said this. So
Wait a minute. Come on.
Excuse me, it's not...
Mike, you asked better questions than that. Yirmiyahu Anovi had a task to tell Bnei Yisrael in the first Churban, you will remain in Bavel for 70 years, you will buy houses, you'll plant gardens, vegetables in the back and flowers in the front, and you'll take care of your driveway, and you'll put your horse in the garage, you'll be there for 70 years. Ad Yom Pokdiyat Eschem, 70 years go, and pass over, then you will be redeemed. That was his job. Don't put him down. Now, before we get into Rav Kook on this issue, we have to go back to the first page. There's a Tosus. To be able to flesh out the issues here, there is a Tosus that we have to learn. It's the third Tosus in the right-hand column. The Hu Omer Lalos. Going back to, you know, the Din Torah between husbands and wives, whether to go up to Eretz Yisrael or not to go to Eretz Yisrael. Says Tosfos, Eino Noheg Bazman Hazeh. This whole halacha, this whole discussion of the Braisa, in no way has any relevance to today. We're talking about Tosfos from the 11th century to the 13th century. The Ikos HaKanes Drachim, and the reason that it does not apply is that today, at the times of the Crusades, when Tosfos was written, there is a HaKanes Drachim, there's a danger to go. You'll never make it alive. Furthermore, the Hayar Omer Rabbeinu Chaim, Rabbeinu Chaim, one of the Baalei Tosfos, used to say...
Which one are you reading?
Used to say, De'achashav, that at this time and day and age, ain't no mitzvah ladur be'eretz Yisrael. There is absolutely no mitzvah min haTorah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Ki yesh kama mitzvos hatlius ba'oretz. There are so many mitzvos hatlius ba'oretz that cannot be observed properly. The kama onshin, and you're going to be punished if you go and not observe them properly. The ain't only yucholim nizaher b'hem, because the conditions are such that these mitzvos, such as trumas and maasros and so on, these mitzvahs, we will be punished if we go to Eretz Yisrael.
Why can't they be punished?
Doesn't say. All right? The ain on yecholim nizaher behem v'la'amod aleihem. Doesn't say. You want me to guess? I'll guess, but he doesn't say. He's giving you a fact. That this mitzvah doesn't apply today. There's no way in the world. We're talking about Europe of the 12th century, Europe of the 13th century. It means after the Chum Bayis, there's absolutely no mitzvah.
It can't be after the Chum Bayis.
I hear what you're saying, but the Baalei Tosfos.
He probably didn't entertain.
You'll soon see that I'm not entirely incorrect. Mm-hmm. We'll see something. Yeah.
Tosfos probably didn't entertain the thought that you could just take Truma and throw it in the garbage. Maybe they were thinking you had to give it to the Kohenim, and the Kohenim weren't there to take it.
We can only guess.
Yeah.
This is, I want to focus on Rav Tzvi Yehuda's comments as far as this Tosfos is concerned. They are not necessarily original to him, but clearly anyone within the purview of the thought of Rav Kook has got to know this idea as promulgated by Rav Tzvi Yehuda, the son of Rav Kook. And then the second thing we have to take a look at is this statement of Kol Hadol, anyone who lives in Eretz Yisrael, Afilu Be'ir Shekula Avodas Koruva, Ruva Avodas Kachovim, where most of them are Goyim who are living there, is Ki'ilu Kimishin Yeshua Eloka, is like one who has, who can be called a from Jew, who has a God. These two issues, and that those are not the only two issues. We're gonna have to branch out now. Furthermore, before we do that, we are going to. I just want to show you parenthetically that it wasn't only this Rav Zera who had the problem, but if you look on page 4 of this. You will find on page 4, you will find that from the Gemara Brachas, you have an issue where the Gemara says on Daf Chav Dalet, Rav Abba was in a similar position. He would avoid, he would dodge Rav Yehuda to have a boy lemesak le'achod Yisrael, because Rav Abba wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael just like Rav Zera. This isn't just the machinations of one human being, you see. And this is why I bring this to you. The issue of, do we stay in Bavel or do we go to Eretz Yisrael? The Omar Rabbi Yehuda and the Gemara quotes, just as we said before, Kol ha'olem mi'bovel eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda was vehement. Everyone knew his position. Careful. No, the Satma held like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, and I must tell you that Rabbi Yehuda was a Talmud of Shmuel, of Rav Shmuel. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. I didn't count how many hundreds of times it said.
Correct.
But anyone who's learned any minimal amount of Gemara has had to come across that statement a half a dozen times. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. Look who you're talking about. So let's reverse it. I say it fully knowledgeable of what I am saying. Look in whose company the Satma Rebbe is. Right. The other way around. Okay? And we'll have to, la halacha, I'm going to have to show you what the issues are. That's why I say I need two and three sessions for this. Let me finish. The Omar Rav Yehuda, you're correct, Shmuel's not mentioned. You're correct. But I must remind you that we call Shmuel Shmuel because Rebbe, Rav Yehuda Hanasi, in an earlier generation, refused to give him smicha because he knew exactly where Shmuel was going to settle. And there's another fellow, Shmuel had another fellow as his senior Talmud Chacham. Who was his partner? Rav. Whose name was Abba Aricha. Rav was the architect of Torah Yiddishkeit, of Torah Judaism, in all of Bavel. Rav. And it lasted for centuries thereafter. The Yarchei Kala and everything, the Seder Halimud and everything was Rav. And he was never Rabbi Abba. His name was Abba Aricha, never, because Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi refused to give him smicha. He knew where he was going back.
Rabbi Yehuda was their Talmud, right?
No. Rav Yehuda. Doesn't say Rabbi. Look again. Rav and Shmuel were Talmidim by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the editor of the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda is a generation after. Rav Yehuda was an Amora, not the Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the editor. All right, but nonetheless, what you're saying is definitely correct, and this is part of the issue. I want to show you the issue. Just to finish off this Gemara, the same thing. Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav Yehuda, Kol ha'olem mi'bavel eretz Yisrael over ba'aseh shenema, as it says in Yirmiyahu, Bavelo yavou v'shama yiyu ad yom pavdi al som yom hashem. Omar, so Rav Abba said, if I have to avoid him, he's still my Rebbe. Torah, to learn Torah from Rav Yehuda is an unmatched experience. So maybe I'm avoiding him. So what do you do? Ezil, let me go to the Beis Medrash. Be'eshma minei milsa, let me hear one final halacha. Mi beis, and there's one word missing because it's on the next page. Mi beis va'ado. Beis va'ado means the conference room or the boardroom. Where did you say the shir? In the Beis Medrash, in the shul.
Right.
So where did he stay? He stayed outside in the next room, in the social hall. Behind the doors, behind the folding doors in the social hall, while the rest were inside. So if he wouldn't see, but at least he'll hear a last halacha. Now, the reason that I interrupt here is to reinforce in your mind that this wasn't the machination of one individual, a Rav Zera or a Rav Abba. This was a mass movement that was taking off, and there was a reason why Rav Yehuda was so adamant in his position. Kol, anyone who leaves Bavel today and goes to Eretz Yisrael is over ba'aseh, and don't hak me a chaynik that I'm not quoting from Chamisha Chumshei Torah. There's a posuk in Yirmiyah, and that posuk applies today.
kind of get the picture of what was going on in Eretz Yisrael at this time.
It's irrelevant.
Oh.
Okay?
Okay.
But I can give you a guess. That they learned better Torah in Bovel than they did in Eretz Yisrael.
Okay.
I'll give you, I'll tell you a historical fact. That there was, with all the problems we had with the invasion of the Persians into Bovel, it was easier to get along with the Persian pagans than it was to get along with the now budding Christians in Eretz Yisrael. And proof of that is take a look at how many volumes in a set of Talmud Bavli and how many volumes in a set of Talmud Yerushalmi. It's 1/8 the size. Quick, the Talmidim of Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish had to go and quickly codify Talmud Yerushalmi because we wouldn't have been able to survive. Unquestionably, the finer institutions of Torah were the Harvards were in Bovel. And not now it's so. Now, a second Tosis that I have to get you to do, and with that we'll be able to go into Rav Kook, is on page 2. There are two tiny Tosis in the upper left hand corner. This Pasuk of Bavela Yavou Vishama Yihyu. All right? Actually Bavela Yavou. Let me finish the Tosis first.
Sorry.
All right? Says Tosfos, what is Rab Yehuda's shita here? Why does he say that you can't go back to Eretz Yisrael? Afal Gav says Tosfos, the high call that this pasuk in Yirmiyahu is begolus rishon ksiv was only talking about the first chum bayis. Yeshloma, we have to explain Rab Yehuda's position. The begolus sheni nami kopit kro, that Rab Yehuda held that from every single golus. You don't leave until you are taken alpines back or alpinevua back. This is the way he held.
Yes,
this is Tosfos is telling you, and that's why you're not to leave. It was said in the first golus. It was to apply to every other golus, and now says Rav Yehuda, we are in the second golus. In other words, the Churban Bayis Sheni. And until we have a Navi to come tell us that we are going back like we had Ezra and Nehemiah and Zechariah and Malachi, you stay put. Coincidentally, it's in Bovel. Mm-hmm. Who talked like that? Who talks today in the 20th century that way? This is the Sabbath.
So
you were saying about...
On page 4, what you said before, I've noticed that it translates later on. On page 4, it says, "Shamed minei lo haya nira elav lefi shaya Rabbi Abba chofetz lalus leretz Yisrael."
Good, that's Rashi. That's Rashi. That column there is Rashi.
That's Rashi.
Yeah. Okay.
Rav Yehuda oser lo lefi shach lo haya nichnas lebeis hamidrash.
Not so. Because Rav Yehuda was a rebbe. And the Rebbe said it's also, and the Talmud was going anywhere.
So you stood outside.
Now, look what you have here. You have the same thing as the Talmud Rabbanan that we learned in the Gemara. A husband says yes, a wife says no. A wife says yes, a husband says no. A Talmud and a Rebbe are locked in like a husband and a wife. Are locked into one another, the relationship. The Rebbe says no, and the Talmud says yes.
Yehuda says not to, right?
So?
Okay. And apparently, the Gemara is apparently it's the same time. I mean, the Gemara was written also around the same time. And the Gemara says, this is the quote in the Gemara. It's also Bovel.
So?
And it's the deal of the Gemara.
So?
So I mean, apparently, who wrote
please,
this then?
Just a minute.
No, not Rav Yehuda didn't write it.
Please understand me carefully. Big deal, it's the deal in the Gemara. I want to go to Eretz Yisrael.
No, the Gemara says that you should go. It says the Gemara here. In other words, the Gemara advocates you should go to Eretz Yisrael. But Rav Yehuda lived at the same time, apparently.
No, later.
Who says later?
It's irrelevant.
One's a Tosefta and one's a...
No. I changed my mind on that. That's a Brisa. That's still a Brisa.
Where's the Brisa?
So, but your question is still a question. How can Rav Yehuda paskin against the Braisa? There is no machlokis here in that Braisa that some say yes, some say no.
That's right.
That's right. This is Dirakot.
No.
And the Gemara doesn't say to you the Rabbi Yehuda.
What?
Doesn't say that we have to discount Rabbi Yehuda. Doesn't say.
But the answer is obvious. If your Rebbe tells you right is left and left is right, you listen to the Rebbe.
And my Rebbe is Rabbi Yehuda, and I am Rabbi Zeira, and I'm going.
You're Rabbi Yehuda, and I go.
And my Rebbe is Rabbi Yehuda, and I'm Rabbi Abba, and I'm going.
Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda knew all about.
No, I'm trying to understand. Rav Zeira and Rav Abba had they had the choice to decide according to the Baraisa.
I'm interested in this Rebbe Talmud relationship. A Talmud goes over and says, I found in page 296 of this law book that thing it gives me perfect right to do what I do. The Rebbe says to you, like, I don't know about that. I know about that, and I know about 297, which you can look at, and 298, and I don't care what you read. I paskin that you cannot go.
And it's not. And
he says, to hell with you, I'm going anyway.
Yeah.
He didn't say hell. He felt guilty, Mike.
Okay, so he hides.
Mike, he hid. That means he felt guilty, and he's gone.
How?